And Pfizer announced today that the United States will buy another 100 million doses of its vaccine, which will be delivered by next summer. That doubles what the U.S. government had already ordered from Pfizer, and it's yet another sign that rich countries have an advantage in the race to vaccinate their citizens because they're able to sign these big contracts with pharmaceutical companies. Canada, for example, has ordered enough doses to vaccinate its citizens at least four times over. We've been reporting on vaccine nationalism, and we're going to go deeper now with Dr. Moga Kamalyani. She's a policy advisor to the People's Vaccine Alliance. It's a global collaboration of aid groups, and she joins us now on Skype. Dr. Kamalyani, welcome.
Thank you.
And the People's Vaccine Alliance has done some research. It now says that 9 out of 10 people in poor countries will miss out on the COVID-19 vaccine next year. That is alarming. Which countries are most at risk?
There's about 70 countries most at risk. Five of them have reported over 1.5 million cases between them. So that's like Kenya, Myanmar, Nigeria, Pakistan, and the Ukraine. This is just an example of all these, actually 67 low and middle income countries.
Well, there are organizations that are trying to make some headway here on this issue. A few days ago, we got word that the group known as COVAX, which is part of the World Health Organization's effort to get vaccines distributed to poor countries around the world, that it had secured 2 billion doses of the vaccine. How significant is that announcement? How far will it go?
Okay, so in theory, COVAX is a good mechanism. It should really be the global kind of, if you like, purchasing mechanism for everybody. In practice, that's not what's happening, because they secure 2 billion doses. They're saying in the press release that 1.3 billion are going to developing countries. Now, the World Health Organization put this equitable allocation framework, which is defining who are the priority groups to get the vaccines. The priority is health workers, people over 60, and people under 60 who have chronic conditions. These groups together in any country are around 20% of the population, okay? So the vaccines that COVAX is going to give these countries, they're not going to cover 20% of the population.
Well, what you've identified seems like a very big problem. Rich countries hoarding up, gobbling up the vaccines before they're even distributed, meaning poor countries will not be able to vaccine their populations. It's a huge issue of justice here, right? But what needs to be done then to solve the problem, to make sure that the distribution of vaccines around the world is equitable?
So the situation shouldn't be like that. There are other options that are not really used. So we need the current companies that are producing the vaccines and the universities and research institutions to share the data, the know-how, and the intellectual property so that the other companies can produce. And you do that via another initiative from the World Health Organization, which is hardly talked about. It's something called COVID-19 Technology Access Pool. So that's a pool that pools the technology and the intellectual property and then license to companies that can produce these vaccines at of good quality.
What you're talking about, though, also makes you wonder about who is making these vaccines. The vaccines we're talking about have been produced by companies based in the United States or the United Kingdom. Of course, we know the Chinese are also producing a vaccine. The Russians have done so. To what extent are poorer countries creating their own vaccinations, and is that part of the issue?
So at the moment, as you said, we've got Russia and China. There's also one vaccine from India being researched and developed now. And these countries, they've gone for clinical trials with other countries like, you know, South Africa, Indonesia, quite a number of countries in Latin America, Middle East. But the problem with the Chinese and Russian vaccine is that we don't really know much about them. You know, some of these companies have the ability to produce, the capacity to produce, but maybe not all the technology that is necessary to produce. That's why we're saying sharing technology is important. So don't forget that these technologies are developed by taxpayers' money, and therefore the vaccine should be available to these people everywhere.
And what's the result of that not being available to people everywhere, of vaccine nationalism, of rich countries hoarding the vaccine and leaving everybody else out?
Actually, it's short-sighted because, you know, apart from it being morally wrong, it's from a public health ground, it's wrong because you vaccinate your people, but you continue to fight the virus at your borders. And the other thing is you won't have your economy back because who do you trade with? Where would you get the supply chain when you're worried about everything coming from a non-vaccinated country, as it were? So it doesn't make sense on moral ground, public health ground, and economic ground.
Dr. Moga Kamalyani, Policy Advisor to the People's Vaccine Alliance, thank you very much.
Thank you.